Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today, I want to read from one of Paul's letters in the New Testament, one of the 13 letters that he wrote, and this one out of Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. And he writes this, inspired by God. "Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." This passage written by the Apostle Paul comes a few verses after he had just spoken about the high privilege of knowing and gaining a relationship with Christ, the most important relationship to Paul that he could possibly have. So important was that relationship to him that all the things which the world said were more important were simply to him rubbish and garbage and worthless, temporal, not lasting. Or as the Message translation says it when Paul writes, "Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung," he says. "I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him." Well, that's pretty clear, pretty candid from Paul. We know a good bit about the Apostle Paul. He was a Jew, a Pharisee, one of the members of the Sanhedrin, the ruling class there. And before he came into a personal relationship with Christ, he made it his life's mission to seek out, persecute, jail, destroy, and kill those who were followers of Christ. We know that through a blinding light encounter with God on the Damascus Road, Paul was led into a personal relationship with Christ and thereafter became the most ardent spokesman for Christianity. And his life's testimony continues to have an incredible impact for Christ today. After all, we are looking and reading and studying some of his words that he wrote. Before his relationship with Christ, his impact was one of fear and death toward everyone he met. His life was lived out on Paul's terms. After that Damascus Road conversion to Christ, his impact in the world was for Christ, and as a result, was one of hope and love and life-giving support to the world around him. His life was lived out on Christ's terms. Was it an easy life living for Christ? It wasn't. Listen to one of Paul's accounts as recorded in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, where he writes, "I have been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, from bandits. I have gone without sleep. I have often gone without food, and I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Yet, in the midst of all of that, through moments of doubt and fear and troubles and failures, Paul always pressed on and never stopped working with and for Christ. How did he do it? What was the secret which allowed him to continue in the midst of the difficulties and the dangers he faced and suffered? Listen to this that we read before. "But one thing I do," he says, "forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." There it is. Forgetting what has gone before, Paul says, "I strain forward to what lies ahead and press on toward the goal of becoming more like Christ in everything I do, everything I think, in all my actions, in all my words." Paul's writings often use the images of a runner. And in this passage, it's no exception. It's the image of a runner not looking back, but straining forward and pressing on to the finish line, which Paul used to remind us of Christ's call. The example that I'll use and share with you is of Peter Snell of New Zealand, an Olympic athlete. He lived in Dallas until his death, though, in 2019, where he was an associate professor at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center, and where he also served as the director of human performance. He won gold medals in the 800-meter events in the 1960 Rome Olympics and the 1964 Tokyo Olympics, where he also won the gold medal in the 1500-meter race. Peter Snell was known through the years for his intense focus, and while running in the 800 meters in the Rome Olympics, he was trailing Roger Mons of Belgium with 50 meters to go. In that brief closing stretch, Mons made the mistake of looking back to his right to find Snell, and in that instant of distraction, he lost just enough of a step to allow Snell to pass him on the left and win the gold medal by 0.2 seconds. In the daily grind of our lives, we have a choice. Dwelling on the things, the voices, the distractions of the world, on the things of the past, which Paul calls rubbish and garbage and dog dung, trash, insignificant and worthless, or we can focus on and press on toward the things of Christ, which he calls us to do every day. It's a new year, my friends, and every day we have a choice to follow the voices of the world, the lure of things, trophies, achievements, fame, applause, and all the temptations and temporary, unimportant distractions which seek to pull us off course, or we have the choice to follow the call of Christ on our lives, to make a difference in the world, to have an impact in the world around us, a life that presses on toward what is before us, fulfilling our God-appointed purpose, honoring Christ, sharing the hope for eternal life with others, and lifting others around us up wherever we find them. Others in need, even if it means putting them ahead of ourselves. But there's something Paul says we must do first before we are fully able to press on toward the call of Christ. And here it is. We must let go of what has gone before, to let go of the past, as we read a minute ago in that passage. But one thing I do, Paul says, forgetting what lies behind. It's a new year, my friends. What better time? What better time to let go and to move on? No sweat, Paul. Thanks for the reminder. Easy enough, right? Forgetting what has gone before? Got it. Right. No, not really. Not me. And I suspect not you. We say the past is in the past and we need to let it go. But unfortunately, that's about the best that we can do at times. The memory of too much pain and heartache keeps bubbling up from before. Too much guilt. We have a hard time forgetting past mistakes, a hard time accepting God's grace and forgiveness and moving on. Instead, living in or holding on to the past, we are held back from moving ahead toward all we were created to be. We stay locked up in the past, remembering what someone did to us or what we did to someone, and we can't move on. Unable to forgive them or ourselves, we replay over and over things we've done, where we've fallen short and where we've failed. God has forgiven us, has lifted us, and is ready to move on with us, but we can't. We can't forgive ourselves, even though God already has. So living in the past ends up tying us down in the present, holding us back from moving on with God's grace into a new day, becoming more like him and all we were created to be and to do and to have the impact that he intends for us to have. John Newton was an English Anglican priest and slavery abolitionist in the late 1700s. But before that, he served as a captain of 3 slave ships and was an investor in the horrific British slave trade. He converted to Christ, renounced his past horrific actions, sought forgiveness, and became an ardent abolitionist of slavery. And until his death in 1807, he served as a parish priest, sharing the love and the grace of Christ with others. And a couple of decades before he passed, he wrote this hymn, famous hymn, out of his life's mistakes and then his walk with Christ, when he wrote this, "Amazing Grace, How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. And concludes with this verse. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Near the end of his life, John Newton, the self-proclaimed wretch that he describes in that song, saved by God's amazing grace, said this: although my memory is fading, I remember two things very clearly. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior. Today, my friends, is a new day. This is a new year. It's time now to live fully the life we were created to live. So how do we do that? How do we move on? Simple, my friends, simple. We follow the words and the example of John Newton and the example of one of the greatest voices for Christ in the Apostle Paul. Two men whose lives of sin and worldly pursuits were changed and then surrendered to Christ, forgiven, strengthened, and given purpose and meaning through the amazing grace of God. Two great sinners saved by one great Savior, Jesus Christ, and they moved on. They are our example. Christ is our example. Through the amazing grace of God, we can and will forget the past, focus on what is before us, and press on to become all he created us to be. It's your new year and mine, and God's amazing grace will see us through. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for this reminder. You do it all the time, though. You poke us all the time. Scott, let's go. I've forgiven you. Time to move on. Help us to do that. Help us to let it go. Help us to move on from the past, forgetting the things that lie behind us, and to press on into all that you created us to be, all you want us to be, all you want us to do for others in the world around you. Help us to do that, Lord. Thank you for all that you give us, all that you provided us, so that we might make a difference and have an impact in this world around us. Continue to use us, poke us, pull us, and prod us. Thank you for all that you do for us and with us. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing, amazing grace and love for us. It's your Son's precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.